Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V audio experience. Today's episode is a classic Ask Gary V Q&A session with his guest, Tim Ferriss, where they go over where to start if you want to be an entrepreneur. Also, they give some great insight on how to test the waters to find out if entrepreneurship is truly for you.
This is the Gary V audio experience.
So where do I start? I want to start doing things. I want to start experiencing things, but I don't know where to start. And
so real quick, and this seems like this could get real good actually for a couple reasons. Tim said something super interesting earlier about should I write books, and he was like, no. And you know, I came out the gate with the hustle and the entrepreneur thing. You know, 4-hour work week, crush it. You have these moments where like you've got a lot of more life to live to like reconcile those headlines that people put you into. As I hear your question, and I've been doing a lot more of this over the last 2 years, which I think is a maturity that I'm happy with. Do you have to be an entrepreneur? You know, to me, I always think about the number 8 at Facebook versus the number 1 of the 9 million things that didn't work. You know, I want to make sure that I'm not inspiring something that sounds great but isn't really you. Or do you feel like you are, and maybe the culture you grew up with suppressed that, and school, like what's your read right now at a young age? Are you excited about that? Do you need it? Like why are you gravitating? Because when I hear how do I start an entrepreneur, I'm scared already. Because when you're a purebred, you don't, fucking go buy something at the dollar store right now and post it on Craigslist. I mean, you know, that right. Feels very raw and real to me. The modern day entrepreneur of like making a deck and raising $4 million on an idea and this and that is student entrepreneurship. Sometimes not, but like, I'm curious where you are.
Right now, obviously, I have no background experience in sales or being an entrepreneur. In fact, I just recently it's like I just wanted to be an entrepreneur because you really inspired me to be that. And I saw because my mom, she's in marketing sales, so it kind of picks off from there. And for now, I'm actually in liberal arts, which I'm actually planning to change to business, international business major. But that was another question that I was about to ask you, if it's the right path, if I want to be an entrepreneur. I am very passionate to be an entrepreneur.
Go ahead, Tim. Okay, Adam, let me jump in here for a second. Where do you live right now?
Sorry?
Where do you live right now?
I'm living in Rochester right now, in Henrietta.
All right. So there are a few thoughts that I have for you. The first is that there are as many paths to entrepreneurship as there are entrepreneurs. There's no one right way. So the most important thing that I would want to convey first is that you're not going to make any fatal mistake at 20 that's going to prevent you from being an entrepreneur for the rest of your life. You could have 20 failed businesses and then still go on to be a billionaire all time, right? You could become whatever. You probably don't know who Wayne Gretzky is, but the Wayne Gretzky and Mike Tyson, maybe if you get that, of your chosen field. So I would say, number one, like, don't be afraid of your first steps because there really isn't any clearly defined path. My recommendation at 20 would be to not try to memorize the entire playbook and start from scratch. What I would potentially consider is finding a small, fast-growing company nearby, mm-hmm. and either interning or volunteering or doing something that allows you to be in any room with people who are negotiating and deal making. Because it could be real estate, it could be design, it could be web services. It really doesn't matter what the industry is, it's the skill set. So you want to get very good at crafting deals and persuading and negotiating, and the easiest way to get good at that is to observe someone who is doing that regularly, whether that's on the phone or otherwise. So I would suggest that you look for opportunities to learn from other people who are already good at deal making and negotiating, because you will use that in everything, whether you're buying, selling, or anything in between. Just to answer your other question, and then we can hop around a little bit. First, actually, to identify your obsession, if you want to do that, that could be part of your journey. There's a book called Small Giants by Bo Burlingham, which I would recommend checking out, which profiles a number of different businesses that are not intended to scale. So you might have a woman who makes leather pants for the most famous rock musicians in the world, and she makes 100 of those a year, and she makes a few hundred thousand dollars, and she only accepts clients she loves, and that's it.
That's a real analogy, or you made that?
That's real.
That sounds cool.
And like Sheryl Crow is like one of her clients. And so that's one you can take a look at. And just to your question about college and majors, so I was a liberal arts major. And I was in neuroscience. That didn't work out. And then I went to East Asian studies and studied Japanese and Chinese. That has, from the outside looking in, nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. However, I would say that it is very hard to learn business in a school setting. That's just, it's like learning how to play football by reading books about it and then trying to go to the Super Bowl. This does not tend to work out very well. So if you are going to stay in school, and I'm of the mind that there is some value in that, depending on your circumstances, and certainly your parents would probably like that, if I had to guess. So view college as a way to become a better-rounded human being. And also, if you are interested to develop certain skills, like I would, if you were to say to me, my passion is entrepreneurship 100%, that's all I want to do, I would probably tell you to take computer science and math classes before business. Because if you have those skills, you can figure out the businessy stuff in a 3-day tutorial from someone. So those are a few thoughts, but just my perspective based on my life experiences.
Brother, let me tell you something. Entrepreneurship is tricky right now because it feels like anybody can do it. You don't see Steph Curry and at 20 and say, I'm inspired now, I'm gonna be an NBA player, and think that that's tangible. Entrepreneurship has zero cost of entry. It's awfully cool right now. And it's very scary for me. One of the things I'm trying to combat, Adam, is people jumping in, because I'm an inspiring character, but it was what I always was and always will be. And so I think that there's a lot there from Tim that's important. You can't think it's that easy to just be inspired and be successful at something. I would spend more time tasting. Yeah. I think you should try to do as many things as possible. And to Tim's credit and point, try to surround yourself. I would really pour on the extrovert nature. I'm empathetic, immigrant in a new country or foreign exchange or whatever you want to call it. So it might not come as natural to roll up on anybody. You might just be introverted by nature. But I would take advantage. Well-rounded person in college, I get it. I know that's a narrative. To me, it's just take advantage of a captive group of people in the same place and try to meet as many people as possible. Entrepreneurship is hard. Being a successful entrepreneur is stunningly rare.
Yeah.
Way more than people think, right, Adam. So I think patience also, 20 years old. I mean, like, to Tim's point, the next 10 years you can taste fail. It's why I'm pushing people to get closer to big time mentors, because what you will siphon out of them is going to be so much more ROI positive. Don't put pressure on yourself to thinking it's either school or entrepreneurship. Yep. There are so many twists and turns.
Yeah, there is a lot on the spectrum, which is, Gary, you and I think see this a lot in our respective audiences, where people make a false dichotomy out of full-time employment or full-time entrepreneurship.
That's it.
And no, there's actually a spectrum in between. So as a student, for instance, one thing that I did when I was in college, which you might consider, is becoming beginning a student club or a student union of
some type. Love that.
So that you have to sell membership. You have to actually take notes, keep track of records, right? So if there's some, it doesn't matter what it is. Like if you are, say, the graphics editor of the school newspaper, you're going to have to learn how to deal with deadlines. You're going to have to learn how to maybe interact with ad sales, because so-and-so is buying a 2-page spread and now you have to integrate and reflow the entire design of the magazine. These are all experiences that mimic the real world, meaning non-school world. So I would encourage you to learn on someone else's dime, right? At school, you aren't necessarily paying a lot for your mistakes, which relates also to my recommendation to maybe work within a smaller company where you have the opportunity to observe a really good deal maker, where you can make mistakes and someone else is paying for that education.
Adam, do me a favor also, buy something on Craigslist or eBay or a store and resell it on the internet. Figure it out. I just go through the exercise. The exercise of buying something and selling it for a profit is an incredible, incredible indicator and exposes a lot in the game, because it's always some level of buying and selling. Just do that. It's a very easy, fun or not fun venture, and it will be quite telling in the success or non-success you have if you do it a couple of times.
I'll give one more.
Go ahead.
Which is actually, so Adam, I don't know you, but I've spent a good amount of time in Singapore and Malaysia. So another exercise I would suggest, because entrepreneurship, if you choose to take that route, is full of uncertainty. And what I would suggest, and also nervousness in many cases. So when you go out to get a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is, and this is borrowed from a friend of mine named Noah Kagan, ask for 10% off. So like for the next 10 coffees that you get,
that's
each time you get to the head of the line, I don't care if it's Starbucks, it doesn't matter if they say yes or not, but ask for a 10% discount. You can't say you're doing an experiment. You can't say that Tim Ferriss told you so. You just have to ask for 10% off and just sit there and wait for them to respond.
Did you do this, Tim?
Yeah.
And what were the conversions?
Well, it makes you more comfortable with discomfort. And you also realize the downside is so limited.
I respect the macro amazingness. Yeah. No. What were the conversions?
Conversions?
Yeah, how'd you do?
Oh, the conversions are surprisingly high. But I mean, like 70%.
Seven of the 10 people at a Starbucks or Pete's Coffee or some random place were like, okay, sir.
Yeah, or they're just like so stunned that they're like, wait, this is Starbucks. And I'm like, I know. I would still I would really appreciate 10% off. And like half the time there's like, okay, guy, sure. Yeah, I don't want to fight this fight right now. So, okay, fine, 10% off. Yeah, knock yourself out.
I love it. And try some of those things, get back to us, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Good luck.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people, you know, it's so funny, people that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. This amazing 5-star review comes from user CRS Castaneda, and it reads, Gary the Legend. Gary, you're helping so many of us redefine success in such a practical way. Thank you for listening and for caring. Thanks for helping this fellow immigrant dream. Thanks again for all you do. Thanks again for that amazing review. And to all you listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might get shouted out in the next episode.